Well, good morning. I've been watching The Chosen a lot. I'm walking around wanting to say shalom. You hear it so many times on that show, which is a great thing. You know, I think it's good to have shalom. It's good to have the peace of God, and it's good to want that for other people, that they would have peace with God. We have peace of God because we have peace with God through Jesus. So shalom, peace. It's a great thing. That's why it's a good morning, because we have peace with God. So we've been in this series moving forward. This will be the next to the last sermon in this series, and then we'll move on. You know, we've in all of these messages been talking about God and His relationship with the church, and how amazing our God is. That He is a God who gives. We talked about that a lot last week. We talked about how He gives to the church for the equipping of the saints and the building up of the church. We talked about how He gives gifts and talents and abilities and opportunity to individuals, and then He brings those people together because it's not about the individual. He loves the individual, but He brings us together as the church so that Jesus would be known and exalted. We talked about how God equips the saints. Who are the saints? The church. Great answer. It's us, right? It's us. It's all people who put their trust in Jesus and are born again, that we are saved individually, right? Each person has to put their trust. Okay, mom and dad's trust doesn't save you, right? You've got to trust in Jesus. So we trust in Jesus. We turn away from living life apart from God, and we trust in Jesus, and we're saved. But the Bible says that we are saved into a family. That we're saved into, that we call church. That's our word for that. We're saved into God's family. Adrian Rogers, preacher from a long time ago, who I really, man, his messages are timeless. If you ever are listening to AFR, one of the stations that plays some of his sermons, they're great. And you probably just want to listen to him, and that's wonderful. But he used to like to say many quotable things. One of the great things he used to say is, listen, guys, either you're a saint or you're an ain't. It's one or the other. You're saved or you're not. And so those who are brought into the family, those who are part of the church, God has given you gifts. Whether you know what those gifts are or not, whether you think that your gifts aren't as great as other gifts, you know, God gives us each gifts so that we pull those together for the building up of the church and doing the work of ministry, the Bible says. Last week we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and we talked about the importance of doing ministry, how all of us coming together and doing ministry is so important, no matter what that task is. It's not about what the task is. It's about trusting the Lord in the midst of everything we do, because the point of it is that God is glorified. The point of all of us coming together as the church and being His family, being the body, is glory for Jesus, the head of the church, that He is exalted. That's what it's all about. So that's a great thing. That means that we should, whatever we should do with passion. We should do with enthusiasm, with confidence in God, not in ourselves, because He's the one who's brought us together. He's the one who has called us into the church and equipped us. So today we're going to look at Colossians. If you turn your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to talk about this idea that we introduced last week, that work of ministry, that we're all called into the work of ministry. And we're going to see today the heart of ministry, the importance of ministry, that it's not about just doing religious activity. See, if ministry, I love this. This is something I've heard many times from our brother Mark. He talks about not having the checkbook faith, you know. That walking with Christ is so much more than a checklist of things, of do's and activities. That, and when we come together, you know, I may have a spreadsheet on my computer that says, you know, volunteer spreadsheet, and here's how everybody's, you know, hopefully going to serve, and this is how they said they're going to serve, and that's great. But it's not about that list. It's not about those boxes we check. It's about God stirring in our hearts and doing something that we're not even seeing in those activities we're doing. That God has a beautiful plan in all of that. We're going to talk about that today, the heart of the ministry. So our message today is called The Heart of Doing Ministry. The Heart of Doing Ministry. An important thing to recognize at the beginning about ministry and why we're here today is that this is part of God's mission. This is part of God's plan. Anybody, Blues Brothers fans from back in the day, you guys ever see the Blues Brothers movie? I know maybe for some of you, you're too young to have seen that. Okay, right on. Are you a fan? Pretty funny. It may have been like far back in the last century when I saw it last, so I have no clue whether any of you should ever watch that movie. I don't know, but I remember the music was great. There's a lot of good R&B music in it, and there was just there was some funny things. But one of the things I remember in the story is it is a story of redemption. It's a story of these two brothers, Jake and Elwood Blues. And Jake has been in prison for a few years. He gets out. His brother goes. Elwood goes and picks him up. And they go visit the orphanage where they were raised. And when they're at the orphanage, they find out that the orphanage owes some property taxes and they're about to be foreclosed upon. And so somehow they end up at this Baptist worship service. And they're praising God. All these people are just excited and worshiping and praising God. And Jake Blues, he's played by John Belushi, he has this aha moment where God speaks to him. And he knows that he's on a mission now. God has told him, put the band back together. They used to have this R&B band called the Blues Brothers. And God tells Jake, put the band back together, do a show, raise money, save the orphanage. And so, have you guys ever felt called by God to do something or maybe part of something that God called you to do? Well, I'm going to let you know a little secret. And I tell this to everybody when they first put their trust in Jesus, because Jesus is going to put them on a mission, right, to live for His glory. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. Anytime God calls you to something, there's going to be some pushback. So in the Blues Brothers movie, there's all kinds of resistance to them carrying out this mission. Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia, is in this movie, if you're a Star Wars fan. She's much different in the Blues Brothers. She plays a crazy lady who's trying to kill them. there's all kinds of, there's a country western band that's getting in the way. There's neo-Nazis. There's spouses of band members who don't want to let them go to put the band back together, who are like, no, you can't do that. You can't go and do that. And whenever there's resistance, whenever there's a scary situation, whenever there's a moment when it just looks like there's no way they can go forward in this mission to put the band back together, Elwood Blues says the same line. Do you guys remember what it is? Anybody who's seen it? We're on a mission from God. It's okay. It's okay that you don't understand the plan going forward because we're on a mission from God. It's okay that there's resistance and that there's scary things going on around us that we're like, wow, how does this work? We don't get it. How can we go forward? And he says the same, Elwood says, we're on a mission from God. It's okay. It's because this isn't our idea. This is God's idea. And I know that's just a movie, but I thought, man, what a great illustration for the church. All the things that we do, whether it's seems insignificant to you or not, no matter what you think of it, no matter what anybody else thinks of it, what matters is what God thinks of it. Of all the things we all do, because He's the one who brings us together and says, you're on a mission from me. The church is on a mission for God. And so that's the thing that, just setting the foundation here, we need to understand that every little work of ministry, every little thing, there's times where we just feel like we're moving in the mud. You know, we want to go forward. God, why is this taking so long? But it's okay, because we're on a mission from God. He's going to move things forward when He wants to. You know, there's times when we get in situations where we just think, oh, I'm discouraged. I just, you know, for whatever reason, it's okay. But it's going to be okay because we're on a mission from God. God is the one who has called us to be the church. God has handpicked. The Bible says that He's the one who adds to His church. God has handpicked every person here to be in this place, in this time, to do what He's equipped them to do. No matter how things ever seem, whether we're ever discouraged or not, we need to remember, as we do the work of ministry, whatever it is, and be excited in this, and to be passionate in this, that we're on a mission from God. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, Paul writes, we have not stopped praying for you. He's speaking to the church. And he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He, Jesus has rescued us. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want to pause there just for a second and acknowledge, listen, God saved you because He loves you. God, you and I were slaves to sin, who we could not free ourselves, and God emancipated us. The gospel is an emancipation proclamation. God has freed each one of us on purpose because He loves you. He has set captives free. That's what He does. But He has brought us into this kingdom and redeemed us for a purpose. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him. Through who? Through Jesus. All things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus, for Him. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. He is before all things, not just chronologically, but He is supreme. He is preeminent above all things, before all things. In Him, all things hold together, and He is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. The church has not only had our origin in Jesus, Him starting the church, but we have our operation in Jesus. We live and move and exist and do ministry and do the Christian life because Jesus has supplied His Spirit to His church. And Jesus is the one who gifts individuals and brings those individuals, calls them into the body, into the church, that they would serve where needed, where the church needs them. If the church needs another eye, guess what Jesus does? He brings an eye, or a toe, or an elbow. Jesus brings. Or sometimes those who are already there, He equips, and He makes them that. It's Jesus who does this. We don't do this ourselves. And Jesus, He doesn't only do that and bring people, but Jesus is the one who gives us passion and energy. He's the one who nourishes us through the Word of God. He gives us what we need to serve Him by His Spirit. He cleanses us. Because a lot of times I get way too muddy in the Christian life. I get too way caught up in myself. And maybe I'm an eye, and He's called me to be an eye, but He's like, you got mud there that you put there, let's wash that away. But Jesus is the one who encourages and nourishes and cleanses and cares for His church. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. one with God the Father before creation, before time and space and matter. The Bible says everything was created through Him and for Him. He is holding everything together for now. That's His plan. And He is the head of the church, the Bible says. Jesus is the one who saves and redeems and brings His church together. Jesus is the fullness of God, the Bible tells us. Jesus is preeminent. He is supreme over all things. The heart of doing ministry, of whatever that is, that's not just coming up here. The heart of doing ministry, this is for all the saints, this is for every person in the church. The heart of doing ministry, why we do what we do, is the exaltation of Jesus. It's all about exalting the one who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and everything we do is for Him. Everything we do is for Him. It is not for us. I know it doesn't say "not about us" out here as a subtitle, but it could. If you want to write that in your notes, it's not about me. It is not about individuals. It's not about even the church, the name on a sign or on a deed or on a building. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. He's the one who is worthy. He's the one who is supreme over all things. It's about Jesus. In Colossians 3, if you want to skip ahead a couple chapters, in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, great truth. One of my best friends, this is his life verses here. Wonderful to hang on to. Whatever you do, church, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That is a profound truth. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. What that means, when we take God at His word and don't try to approach things through our own stinking thinking, what that means is that when somebody sees that there's a lot of junk that's been carried in and it's in the entryway over here, and they go to the utility closet and they grab the vacuum and they go and they vacuum that up, it's not just about cleaning that floor for the folks who are coming here. That's a nice thing to do. But everything we do, everything is about the exaltation of Jesus. It's for Him. We do everything as not for people, but for God. And when we approach it that way, it's worship. When we approach everything we do as the church, when we come together and do the work of ministry, we are declaring, may Jesus be exalted in my life. I could be sitting somewhere and just, you know, listening to some music that makes me feel good and stuffing myself on chocolate chip cookies. That would make, you know, that would be a nice thing. But you know what? I'm going to do this, whatever it is, for Jesus, to exalt Jesus. Whatever you're doing, no matter what it is, do it in faith. Do it believing, you know what? I can do this for the glory of God. I can do this so that Jesus is exalted. Flipping back to Colossians 1, there in verse 10, the Bible says that we are to live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. When you do the work of ministry, whatever that is for you, whether it's making the coffee, whether it's folding some bulletins, whether it's greeting some people, whether it's playing some music, whether it's sharing God's word, whatever you do, it can declare, I belong to Jesus. And He is to be exalted in my life. He's redeemed me. And everything I do is for Him. It's not for me. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's all about Jesus. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. fully human, fully God. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making shalom, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That's wonderful news. That's wonderful news. Jesus, through his blood, saving us, that we could be presented to God as holy in his sight, without any blemish, free from any accusation. The heart of doing ministry, whatever it is you do, the heart of doing ministry is reconciliation. The heart of ministry is reconciliation with God. The Bible tells us so clearly that Jesus is the sum total of all the attributes of God. Jesus is the sum total of the power of God. Jesus is the only mediator between God and human beings. He's the only one who could be. Fully God and fully human. Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 1:14, Jesus is God in human flesh. And when he died on the cross, all of the just demands of God, of the wrath of God against our sin, it was all paid. Jesus accomplished reconciliation for us through the cross. And because of that work that Jesus did, God sees us as blameless and holy and above reproach. Wonderful news. Is there, you know, maybe people in your life that don't view you as holy and blameless and above reproach. I'm sure there's people in my life, I can tell you for sure, there's people who don't see me as holy and blameless and above reproach, but you know how God sees me? Through the blood of Jesus. And that's how he sees you. Reestablishing that intimacy that was lost in the fall, that we have relationship and intimacy with God because that's how he sees us. And this is the heart of ministry. It's reconciliation with God, what Jesus has done. And when we gather together as the church, as the body of Christ, we declare and proclaim reconciliation with God. That's our message. That's the heart of ministry. We are declaring to the world, and in God's time, he brings people and opens their ears and their hearts to receive it and gives them the faith to receive it and to believe. We are declaring when we come together the message, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Yes, you have made a mess of your life, and yes, you have sinned, and yes, you are lost, but you are not beyond the saving grace of God. That's our message to people. When they come in, no matter who they are, no matter what anybody thinks of them, no matter what we think of them, and hopefully what we think is we look at them and think, this is somebody Jesus died for. But our message for them, for everybody, no matter who it is, you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that is the heart of, that's why we come together. That's the heart of everything that we do, to exalt Jesus and to tell people, you can have peace with God. You can be reconciled. If he can save folks like us, he can save anybody. Amen? Amen. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven in which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by a commission that God gave me to present to you, the word of God in its fullness. Third thing for us to recognize today, at the heart of doing ministry, we present the word of God in its fullness. The heart of doing ministry is presenting the Word of God in its fullness. This is important. As the church, as God's called out people together, with our words, with our actions, with everything we do, we need to be speaking and displaying the Word of God in its fullness in people's lives. I heard Patrick Morley one time say, and I think I've heard others say it as well, because his heart is really about discipleship, and that's his calling. It's really all of our calling. But he said, salvation without discipleship is cruel. A church that is so caught up in just, it's wonderful to be caught up in reaching people and inviting people and being relatable and accessible and bringing folks in who don't know Christ, that's great. But if people are saved and you don't spend the rest of their life helping them mature in the faith, by helping them receive the Word of God in its fullness, helping them grow as disciples, that's a cruel thing to do. It's like having a baby, getting really excited about having a baby and not taking the baby home and raising the baby for 20 years or 18 or however many it takes to raise the baby, just leaving him at the hospital. It's a cruel thing to do, to abandon somebody that way, that the church has a responsibility to every single believer. We've got a responsibility not only to newborns, we've got a responsibility to the toddlers and the teens in the faith and even the mature in the faith. We've all got a responsibility to be people of the Word, to be people who our lives and our life together is immersed in the Word of God, presenting the Word of God in its fullness together. There is a danger when that doesn't happen. There are churches, there's gatherings where the Word of God is not held up as authoritative, where the Word of God is kind of piecemeal picked and chosen to present certain social issues or certain topics, but it's not exalting Jesus. And it's not about reconciliation with God, and it's not about the Word of God in its fullness. And there's a danger in that, because when the Word of God is not presented to the people, when the people don't know what the Word of God teaches and how to apply it in their lives, it's easy to get off track or at least have stunted growth and not mature in the faith. At the heart of ministry, at the heart of us coming together at the church, we need to understand we've got to be a people who proclaim the Word in its fullness. We've got to be people who are grounded in the Word of God and presenting the Word of God to people, that we are preaching and teaching and proclaiming even to each other. When there's plenty of times I need the Word of God from you guys. You may think you need to hear it from me. I need to hear it from you. Believe me, there's plenty of times when I'm faced with a situation or a conversation or something, and I'm starting to approach it for whatever reason in my flesh. And I need you to remind me, that's what you think, but here's what the Word of God says. Please do it in love. But we do that out of love for each other, and we do that because the Word of God says we need that. We have got to be a people of the Word. We've got to proclaim the Word of God. And as we do ministry together, as we do life together, as His church, we share the Word of God in its fullness. We do that for our good and for God's glory. Paul wrote, I become a servant of the church by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. But then he continues, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. At the heart of doing ministry, at the heart of doing everything we do, whatever that is, whatever part you play in ministry, at the heart of doing ministry is Christ in you. It's not you doing something for Jesus. That's a nice thought, but it's Jesus doing something in and through you. At the heart of doing ministry is Christ in you. And we have to humbly accept that. We have to humbly accept that and work in ministry that way. If I approach whatever I'm going to do, if I'm going to hand out bulletins and I approach that as, well, I can easily do that. I've got the health, praise God, He's gave it to me. I've got the health to do that today, but I need to understand, you know what? God may want to use this in a way that I don't see today. There may be a smile, there may be a word that He gives me to encourage somebody, there may be something in that today that if I am being led by the Spirit and He's in charge here, He's the one, even this little task, if I approach it in humility and think, I need God to do this, can I do this in my flesh? Yes, but you know what the results are? Flesh results. And sometimes God, in spite of us, He does great things still. Even when we operate in our flesh, because He's that awesome. But you know what the better thing is? The better thing is to humbly say, God, you know what? This little thing that I'm going to do, I need You. I need You because I believe Your word. I believe that I have You. That Christ is in me, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit, and I want to be yielded to You. And I want to be trusting in You. And I want You to do what I can't do in this little task, whatever it is, because I know You can do things far beyond what I would do in my ability. We trust and depend on Christ working within us. That's our confidence, no matter what the task is. That's our confidence. It's in Him, not us. Guys, remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. There in Genesis 3, it says that they were fearful. They knew they were naked. They sewed some fig leaves together, tried to cover themselves. Seems like that would work. That should take care of it, right? God said, no. Now that's not going to do it, guys. That's not going to take your fear away. That's not going to do it. I'll cover you. So God covered them with animal skins. And then He expelled them from the garden because they sinned. And as humanity multiplied, as God had told them to do, and they filled the earth, recognizing they didn't have that intimacy with God that they were created for, they didn't have the relationship that they were meant to have, people in countries and cultures all over the world tried to fill that with morality or immorality or spirituality or religion and all these different things to try to make this connection back with God somehow. Somehow we're going to do these things and get reconnected with God and have intimacy with Him again. And God said, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to do it, guys. And the Bible says that Jesus came, lived a perfect life for us, took our sin upon Himself and took the wrath of God on the cross to save us, not just that we'd be forgiven, to bring us into that intimacy that God wanted for us, to bring us back into that place of relationship and beauty and life with God. And it's a wonderful truth, and I can tell you, I'm so glad today that that's personal for me. He's redeemed me. I'm so glad I put my trust in Jesus. I'm so glad He gave me the gift of repentance and faith. I'm so glad that He said, that life you've been living, I'm going to overturn that. I'm going to give you a new life that's way better. I'm so glad Jesus did that for me. But there's times that in this new life He's given me, I try to walk it out in my thinking and in my energy and in my best efforts instead of looking to Him and understanding I have Christ in me. He's given me the Holy Spirit for a reason, to confidently look to Him and not myself. Paul's told us here in Colossians, he says, not only to them, but to us, he said, church, live a life worthy of Jesus. Well, when you put it that way, I feel pretty inadequate. Live a life that entirely pleases Jesus. When you think of it on that scale, I guess it's really good I have Christ in me because I can't do that. When he tells us, live a life that doesn't exalt you, and we so badly want to think well of ourselves and other people to think well of us, but it's not about us. He calls us to live a life that exalts Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can't do that very well. I can't do it at all, apart from the Holy Spirit. When he says, I'm going to send you on a mission into the world, a ministry of reconciliation to help people hear the gospel and put their faith in Jesus. I mean, just the superficial part of opening my mouth and sharing the gospel with a stranger. You guys ever feel intimidated by that? Sometimes that's a little scary. You wonder what they're going to think, maybe? We can't do it. We can't do it. Not even the superficial part of that. How about proclaiming the Word of God in its fullness? Understanding the deep truths of the riches of the Word of God. We can't do that in ourselves. The Bible tells us explicitly, without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the things of God. Whenever we do the work of ministry, whatever that is for you, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a conversation with somebody, whether it's a meeting, whether it's fellowship time after the service, whatever it is, if we try to do it just because we think we can do it without Him, I can just imagine God lovingly shaking His head and saying, you can't do that. But me and you can. I can do it. And He invites us to trust Him. He invites us to look to Him. He invites us to believe Him. He invites us to take Him at His word and say, I'll do it if you just trust me. Ask me to do it. I'll do it. J.B. Phillips, in his New Testament translation of this passage we looked at, puts it this way, and I think this is helpful. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, for I am a minister of the church by divine commission, saying God chose me to do what I do, just like He chose you. By divine commission, a commission granted to me for your benefit and for a special purpose, that I might fully declare God's word, that sacred mystery which up to now has been hidden in every age and every generation, but which is now clear, as clear as daylight to those who love God. They are those to whom God has planned to give a vision of the full wonder and splendor of His secret plan for the sons of men. And the secret is simply this: Christ in you. Yes, Christ in you, bringing with Him the hope of all glorious things to come. God has called us to be His church in this time and in this place and to do the work of ministry, and there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news isn't that there's resistance. There's always resistance to the things of God. That doesn't matter. God's a million times bigger than the resistance. He knows about that. The bad news is what he calls us to do as the church collectively, and really every little thing, what he calls us to do, we can't do in ourselves. What he calls his church to do in this nation and in every nation, and in the big church and the little church, and the formal church and the charismatic church, in every setting, every church, we can't do in ourselves what he's called us to do. We try. We try really hard. There's millions of dollars spent trying to do what only he can do. But he's commanded us to be his church. He's commanded us to represent Jesus. He's commanded us in everything we do to make it clear we belong to Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing. But the good news is, he could do it. No matter what it is, no matter how big it is, I think it's wonderful to trust God every day for huge things, for things that seem impossible, because he can do it. He can do it in us and through us. He works through his church. He can do it through us, whatever it is. When we look to him and we trust him, and we've got to know and believe, and some people don't understand this, that we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the person of God in us. In us. I know that there are some folks, I just heard on Christian radio a couple days ago, they were saying, according to the latest statistics, how many Americans claim to be a Christian? And it was some huge number, just like it always is. Probably less than the last time, but it was still like, you know, a couple hundred million people or something. Yeah. Big percentage of people say they're Christian. I hope it's true. I mean, God only knows. I don't know. But part of that survey was, do you believe, and I don't know, I'm not sure how they worded it, but do you believe in the person of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the existence of the Holy Spirit? Half said no. Which kind of confuses me. It's kind of a mystery. I'm thinking, what Bible do they read? And I understand. I spent many years of the Christian life early on just trying to do, and God, he gives us grace, but just trying to live out the Christian life, stumbling along, just doing whatever, without ever pausing and recognizing, oh, hey, I have the Holy Spirit. God's given me the power to do what I can't do. That I can confidently do this impossible thing because God said so and he's given me the provision of himself. I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to trust my flesh. I'm not going to trust my thinking or my talent. He gives us those things. He gives us a mind and those talents, but my confidence is not in that. My confidence is in him. That's who we look to. We look to God, his presence with us and in us, and he will do what we can't do. At the heart of doing ministry, whatever you do, know this and let this be your confidence, Christ in you. It's too easy to get afraid when you get distracted away from that. It's too easy to get discouraged. It's too easy to feel like a failure. It's too easy to give up when your confidence is in you. But when you know you're on a mission from God and the provision to complete the mission is God, you're unstoppable. Until God calls you home, you're unstoppable. When we started this series a few weeks back, I said that our theme verse is Ephesians 3, actually verses 20 and 21. I want to share that to conclude today, and we'll pray here in just a minute. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Can I get a amen? Amen. You think God's going to be slack in glorifying himself? I don't. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. His power doing far more than we ask or imagine. He can do it. He can do it, and He will. For His glory, He will work through His church in this generation. At the heart of doing ministry has got to be trusting God. Our faith is in Him. It's not in us. And we do it so that He receives all the honor, not us. It's not about us. I'm going to pray. Worship team, you can come up when you're ready. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, how good and amazing it is to be Your people today. How wonderful, Lord, that You have saved each one of us out of Your incredible love and mercy and grace, and that You have brought us into family. And how wise and remarkable that You say that we are partners with You in a way, that You give us this ministry of reconciliation that You're going to do through Your people. Lord, may our trust forever in everything, big and small, may our trust be in You and not ourselves, so that You are the one who gets the glory and not us. Lord, we invite You today to be exactly who You are, which is the head of Your church, that You would lead us and guide us and direct us, that we would operate in Your power according to Your word for You to get all the glory. Lord, we pray for anybody here today or watching online who has not been brought into the family yet, God. We pray that You would call them. Lord, we pray that today that You would call people out of darkness and call them into the kingdom of the Son that You love. Lord, we pray that today that You would give somebody an aha moment, that You would help them to understand that they are a sinner. Maybe looking at their own life, which is a mess because of the consequences of sin, and that somebody would be fed up with running their own life and turn to You today, God, that You would give them the faith to turn to You and say, God, overturn my reign in my life and You come in and reign. That somebody would say, God, the life that I have been living, I am ready to give it up. Jesus, I'm ready to put my trust in You. I'm asking for Your forgiveness. I'm asking for You to give me a new life. Lord Jesus, we pray You'd give that to somebody right now. That somebody would be born again. That they would know the joy that we know of belonging to You.